Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's July 23rd, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, as mainstream media builds war hysteria, CNN surveys the public and finds they've already convinced 10% to go to war. And a Border Patrol veteran points out that opening the border to terrorists and gangs is asymmetric warfare conducted against the American people by its own government. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Our top story tonight, insane. 1 in 10 Americans wants war with Russia over downed airliner. In a new poll on CNN and ORC, almost 1 in 10 Americans have expressed a desire to take military action against Russia should it be confirmed that Vladimir Putin's government was somehow involved with the downing of Malaysian Airlines flight MH17. The number may seem low at first, but it translates to 1 in every 10 Americans believing that a war with a nuclear superpower is a good idea. And if you go to conflict with anybody, especially somebody like Russia, you need to know what you're getting into. And also, you need to have a very good reason to go in there in the first place. And as the article also points out, there are 85% of Americans of those polled believe what they've seen and read in the media concerning Russia and how Russia is definitively behind the attack. But the issue about this is we've seen a rep for the State Department come out and say that they use social media as a tool to get to this conclusion that it was Russia's fault, which is a really big deal to me because you can go on YouTube, you can go on Twitter, and you can find pretty much anybody saying anything. So the State Department is it's a very big deal to me that we have a country that has the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, all these alphabet agencies, and that's not to say that I'm vouching for them spying on people. I'm not saying that at all. But if they have all these organizations, why on earth would you use something like Twitter or YouTube to make your point? And I'm not saying Russia's innocent. I'm not saying they're guilty. I'm not saying they did or did not do it. But you need to have better information than this before you go and make a decision as big as saying, hey, this person definitively did it, before you accuse somebody of murder, especially if war is soon to follow. And somebody else who is concerned about this, Michael Savage. That's why he had Paul Joseph Watson on his show, The Savage Nation, to discuss this very important issue. And we'll give you this full report, this special interview at the end of our show if you're a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. So this is another goodie for all you guys at PPTV. If you're not a member of PrisonPlanet.tv, consider becoming one. If you're watching this on YouTube or some other source, you can get a 15-day free trial. You get the nightly news, the Alex Jones Show, the special reports, the rants, all there at PrisonPlanet.tv. So listen to Michael Savage and also Paul Joseph Watson talk about the MH17 cover-up on PrisonPlanet.tv. Moving on. Islamic State bolstered by large cache of U.S. weapons. Just more weapons going to the terrorist. In addition to combat ground vehicles and artillery previously acquired from the Iraqi military, the new trove taken from U.S. bases includes more than 50 155mm M198 artillery batteries and 4,000 PKC machine guns. The M198 has a range of up to 25 miles. The PKC machine gun is a Soviet-era belt-fed Kalashnikov PK. The PK version can fire 650 rounds per minute and the PKMT 800 rounds per minute. IS has threatened to attack and destroy Shia Muslim holy sites in southern Iraq cities of Karbala and Najaf. It has destroyed Christian and other holy sites in northern Iraq. So you have a group like ISIS, IS, whatever they want to call themselves this week. They go around to these abandoned military bases, these military facilities, and they're pretty much picking up whatever they want to get. And this is a big deal because you have all this military industrial complex hardware out there that's just right for the pickings. You know, it's one thing, you know, if a Humvee gets attacked and the guys have to leave the Humvee and then the rebels or whoever come and strip it, that's understandable. But when you have pretty much complete facilities full of all these vehicles, full of all these weapons that you just leave there, that's a really big issue. So these guys aren't even just getting things, you know, directly shipped over from the Obama administration like, you know, the people in Syria. No, they're saying, hey, we're just going to leave it all out here and you can just come get whatever that you need. And this is a big deal. And this is why they say that you need to bring these things back to the United States. This is why they say you need to bring the MRAP vehicles and all these other things here and give them to the SWAT teams. I don't want the SWAT teams to have them. I don't want the militants to have them. Just nobody needs to have this stuff. And they say that you need these because, you know, some crazy veteran may start making IEDs. As far as I know, that's not happened here in the United States of America. But something that's going to start happening in the UK, potentially, journalists and anti-vax campaigners could be considered terrorist under UK law. The report focused on the definition of terrorism in the UK, which among other things currently means that someone could be considered a terrorist if they publish material that is considered to endanger life or to pose a risk to the health of the public. But the problem is that the law isn't specific enough, meaning that it can be applied to cases that do not have anything to do with terrorism, such as people who are concerned about vaccines. So let's say you have your published literature, you know, it's school season again, and you're out there handing out your tracts to the people getting their children vaccinated. Well, they say, you know, you could be a potential terrorist if you're doing these things. Or let's say you print out your Harvard study and you go to your city council meeting. You know, the mayor flips you off like they do here in Austin. And you say, hey, man, I got this Harvard study talking about how fluoride will lower your IQ. You could be a potential terrorist if you're over there in the UK. But you can also be a potential terrorist here in the United States if you do something as simple as wear blue jeans or if you have a Ron Paul bumper sticker. If you have the wrong type of anything, they will label you a terrorist and come after you any way that they can. So you definitely don't want this type of authoritarian measures in your town or city. And something else that you don't want your borders to be wide open, because they try to say it's a racial issue, it's a humanitarian issue, it's a humanitarian crisis if you don't let people just flood into your borders. Border Patrol agents, UN taking control of America's southern borders. And this is something that's very serious and needs to be taken proper measure to get these things under control. Two anonymous Border Patrol agents reportedly told radio host Dave Hodges that under the pretense of labeling illegal aliens refugees, the United Nations is calling the shots on America's border operations and that the UN is deciding which immigrants to ship to various parts of the U.S. I objected to admitting MS-13 gangsters into the U.S., and I was told that we have our orders and to treat them like anyone else, one of the agents told Hodges. Hodges said that he asked one of the men, you know, how they knew these immigrants were MS-13, and he said they could tell by the tattoos. So this is something that needs to be very much concerned, because they say, you know, it's all about the kids, it's all about humanitarian crisis and intervention. Do you want gangsters coming in to your country? We have enough gangsters here. You see the guys with the blood tattoos, with the Crip tattoos, and now we're just bringing in more gangsters. And not all these kids are gangsters. Not all these kids have illnesses. But you do have to address the people who are coming with these problems and bringing these issues into your country. Meanwhile, you know, they're saying they're going to send, 1,000 National Guardsmen to patrol the border. They don't have arrest authority, so I'm not exactly sure what they're going to be doing. Meanwhile, we talked to one of the vice presidents of the Border Patrol in South Texas, and he says he would love to have the National Guard come and do administrative paperwork so his guys could get back out in the field, but that's not going to happen. They're still going to be changing diapers and warming up bottles. And somebody was so disgusted with the Border Patrol that he just had to leave. Former Border Patrol agent, government using immigrant children for asymmetrical warfare.
The whole idea of asymmetrical warfare is to defeat your enemy from within. It is not to attack him from without. Of course, the threat comes from without, but they have to be inside of the United States to effect a successful warfare strategy. If asymmetrical warfare is going to be successful,
and I encourage you to go to Infowars.com and see this full video clip. The gentleman stresses, just like the founding fathers did, that when America is attacked, we'll be attacked from within. And this doesn't necessarily mean a physical attack. You can just bring people into this country to vote against the things that your country stands for, such as, you know, sovereignty, such as firearms and other rights. You bring the people in here, and then you can have the soft takeover where you don't have to have people burning things into the streets. And I definitely want you guys to see this full clip on Infowars.com. You know, these type of ideals are not to be forgotten, but something that they will do in this country, they will forget our veterans, and they've gotten to the point where they will lock you inside of a VA facility.
I was apparently left there and forgotten.
Veteran Marine Jeff Duck says he was afraid that nobody would believe him when he said he was locked inside this VA community clinic in Orange City on Monday, so he whipped out his cell phone to prove it.
Here I am inside the Orange City VA, and everybody's gone home.
You can see nobody's there. The waiting room is empty. No one is behind the counter.
Then the alarms went off. So at that point, I was pretty clear that I was the last one there.
So the Marine in this clip was very good natured. You know, he took it all with a joke and a smile. He says, you know, it's unfortunate that this happened to him, but he's hoping that his plight will just shine a brighter light on the overall VA scandal. And we'll end tonight with this. This is probably the most scandalous of everything. City refuses to pay for Obama fundraising visit. It is not scandalous that they're refusing to pay for it, but the Obama administration would even foot these guys the bill. It says, according to Medina City Manager Mike Sourvain, prior presidential visits have cost local residents as much as $35,000 due to security-related issues, but not anymore. Sarah Vane says the bill will instead be sent to the former Costco CEO, Jim Singal, the host of the president's $25,000 per plate Democratic fundraiser. So good for you guys. Tell them that, hey, I'm not paying for you. I'm not paying for the SWAT teams to guard you. I'm not paying to block the streets and all these facilities. You know, and that may fly in cities like Austin, unfortunately. You know, the trendies down on South Congress think it's so great to have Obama come down and not even go to the border. You know, I would have paid, you know, a couple thousand dollars to clear the highways for Obama to go straight down to the border and go to these facilities, go to these border patrol facilities, go to these ICE facilities. But no, he doesn't do that. He goes down to downtown Austin, Texas. He's partying up with, you know, with all the big party stars, the movie stars and all those guys. But he doesn't want to do any real work, doesn't want to do any real issues. So hopefully we can send that $100,000 plus bill back to the Obama administration, and hopefully they don't take it out of sequestration money and say they have to shut down the White House for a week so he can go on a private vacation and send the kids to Cancun with the Secret Service. But that's it for this segment of the InfoWars Nightly News, but be sure to stay tuned. We'll have a special report from John Bound and Company, the InfoWars crew, talking about the FEMA camps being built in South Texas, and also the Alex Jones Show Caller of the Week.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here. An electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution. The new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water. For your preparedness storage or your home kitchen, purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Chris in Nevada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Alex, from FEMA Zone 9 and the Empire of Lies.
You bet, brother.
You're speaking about asymmetrical this morning, and I thought it's important to define the word. The word means without symmetry, form, or order, ab order, chaos. In fact, chaos is the assembly of worshipers of Osiris. And when we hear crisis, it's the cry of ISIS.
Yes.
In the global war. This is the silent weapons, quiet wars form of war, which is a constant, full-spectrum global battlefield. It's the soft type of war, or boiling frogs type, where everything is war in one form or another, so that the masses don't notice that war is being perpetrated against them. The Grand Drago, George Soros, a.k.a. Georgi Schwartz, is one of the key operators of the Council of 12 of the global elite who are behind this insidious global annihilation project. But thanks to you, Alex, and the rest of the host of the GCN network, We are got the new world order on the run. Death to the new world order.
Wow, you really have got your act together. And I had seen what you just pointed out yourself. People asking James Bond movies based on a lot of real things that happened or similar things, at least the earlier Ian Fleming ones with Sean Connery. You know, why does Spectre openly wear the Spectre or Hydra ring on their finger? Because it's important to throw it in your face. And how do they operate? Creating chaos, order out of chaos. What do they call the Al-Qaeda forces? ISIS. Crisis. And asymmetrical warfare. We are seeing them hit us with asymmetrical warfare. What's your background? You sound like you know what you're talking about.
Well, I also am a meted learned man of the law, like your first caller that responded about Dr. Frederick Graves of the Juris Dictionary. He's one of the people I study with also.
So are you a Mason?
No, never been affiliated with Masons. My grandfather was 32nd degree, but that's the closest I ever got.
No, I know. There's some good groups of Masons that are aware of all this. They're fighting it behind the scenes, and they use terms like what you just said, learned, student of the law and things. Very interesting. Call back again. We've got a special guest coming up, but what you just heard from that caller was pure veritas. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. Alex Jones here to break down some exciting developments in the area of research concerning supplemental iodine. It's nothing less than phenomenal. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. And I used some of the mainline iodine supplements and they upset my stomach and I had some issues with it. Until I discovered a product being developed by Dr. Group, who I was already interviewing as an expert on my radio show, and I began taking the product before he actually rolled it out. You now know it as Survival Shield, true nascent iodine that your body can really absorb. Then, about a year ago, he said, listen, if you think this is powerful, I'm going to come out with rare earth, deep earth crystals that are incredibly powerful that no one else has as a source for their iodine from between 7 and 12,000 feet, literally drilled out of the ground. You put it on a hot plate and it turns into the pure gas. No one else has 99.99% pure iodine. And the results that I personally have had have been life-changing. I was over 270 pounds. And with the iodine, exercise, and better diet, I have lost now more than 50 pounds total, and I'm continuing to lose the weight. I have more energy, my libido, all this crap came out of my skin. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen. This is innovating. This is trailblazing. And the best part is it helps fund InfoWars.com, the radio show, the TV show, the whole media operation promoting true libertarian ideas.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
The InfoWars crew has spent a lot of time in South Texas on the U.S.-Mexico border. The InfoWars crew is now documenting the ties to Rex 84, Bilderberg alumni Rick Perry, and FEMA camps in South Texas.
There may be a number of people who cannot be prosecuted for past crimes. In some cases because evidence may be tainted. But who nonetheless pose a threat to the security of the United States. In our constitutional system, prolonged detention should not be the decision of any one man. If and when we determine that the United States must hold individuals to keep them from carrying out an act of war, we will do so within a system that involves judicial and congressional oversight.
Reassuring words, but completely fabricated. Because if and when Obama or the next puppet declares the suspension of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, they will hastily invoke Executive Order 11921, which provides that when a state of emergency is declared by the president, Congress cannot review the action for 6 months, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency will assume control over the mechanisms of production and distribution of energy sources, wages, salaries, credit, and the flow of money in U.S. financial institutions.
And as you can see behind me, there's a brown RV, and it actually says FEMA written on the side of it. And as CNN reported, this facility in particular can hold 1,000 illegals in detention cells inside of it. And there's no doubt that other facilities such as this one can be built across the U.S. to hold American citizens during a government-declared emergency such as an economic collapse.
It is 55,000 square feet that is separated into four different pods, and they're expected to hold up to 1,000 kids at 72-hour increments at a time and release them by bus into different parts of the country. They have a health facility. They have a dining facility. All this stuff is inside here right now. And behind me, too, if you see, there's a brown bus. It is a giant FEMA bus. Here comes more and more politicians out of this brand-new facility in McAllen, Texas, where they've been meeting and coming up with ways to help the Obama administration import poverty into our country.
Meanwhile, Readiness Exercise 1984, or Rex 84 as it's known, the brainchild of Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North and the modus operandi of the Bush-Cheney administration, plays out. As the flow of more gang and cartel activities increase in the U.S., so does the possibility of our government seizing totalitarian control. The plan also authorizes the military to direct ordered movements of civilian populations at state and regional levels. From 2008 to 2012, 143,000 illegal alien criminals have been arrested in Texas. The state of Texas estimates that 100,000 gang members are here illegally. The need for a force multiplier on the border appears to be a rational course of action by Texas Governor Rick Perry. However,
I was invited by a person to go to a Bilderberg meeting, and I found it to be an interesting group of people.
The slippery slope towards martial law gains traction when Bilderberg attendee Governor Rick Perry speaks cordially with President Obama 2 days after receiving a letter from President Obama's handler, Valerie Jarrett. The Rex 84 playbook thrives on the possibility of a well-orchestrated maneuver between state and federal entities, whether both parties are aware or not.
InfoWars attempted to visit the BCFS headquarters in Harlingen this afternoon to talk to their public information officer about its recent plan to buy the Palmera Hotel and Suites in Weslaco, Texas, which was going to be used to house illegal aliens. No doubt this show of force is in response to the severe backlash BCFS received after the alternative media broke the news about the proposed hotel purchase, which the company now claims it is no longer pursuing. BCFS, which also manages the shelter housing 2,000 illegal immigrant youth on Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, began as an orphanage in 1944, but has since emerged as a global network for companies which work for various federal agencies such as FEMA in response to government-declared emergencies. And other so-called religious charities are also profiting from the current border collapse. There's no doubt that this pampering of illegal aliens will only encourage more to risk their lives traveling thousands of miles to the U.S. All right, right now we're on the edge of the Rio Bravo River, where we found a pair of shoes right up here. Now, if you come over here and take a look down, the illegals swim across that side of the embankment, and they come over here to this area, and they use it as a way to climb up to freedom, to be a dreamer, to be a part of Obama's new war on our country. Now, if you come over this way right now, you can see the, like, feet marks that come across where they try to run all the way into the fields and onto a main highway where they possibly get picked up by someone over here, and then they ship them off to different parts unknown in the country. All right, I'm right here with Kit Daniels from InfoWars. He's one of our writers. Now, tell me what it is that you've seen since we've been out here the past 24 hours.
I've seen a lot of blankets, a lot of shoes, a lot of biohazardous material. This is a heavily crossed area for immigrants.
Now, do you think this is one of the main spots, though? Like you said, you saw a blanket over there. They're more than likely smuggling things across over here and probably getting picked up by someone, don't you think?
Absolutely. We've seen so many vehicles, like SUVs, driving out of this area. It's obvious that there's coyotes running through here and picking people up and trafficking them further into the United States if they don't even surrender to the Border Patrol. And which even if they do surrender to the Border Patrol, they're just going to get three hots in a cot.
I'm Joe Biggs with Kit Daniels signing off for InfoWars.com at the edge of the last bit of America still standing.
And that just goes to prove what Alex Jones has been telling you for the past 15 plus years. FEMA camps in the United States of America, they're not just coming, they're here, they are very real. And if you want to help us get this message out far and wide, consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. You can get a 15-day free trial, the Alex Jones Show, the nightly news, the special reports, the rants, it's all right there at PrisonPlanet.tv. Well, that's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Shikari Jackson, and stay tuned because, as promised, Paul Joseph Watson on the Savage Nation. We'll see you again tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
By the way, I wonder whatever happened to tell Vladimir I'll be flexible if I'm reelected. What about the old reset button? Don't we realize this is an old KGB apparatchik that is hell-bent on restoring what he believes is the Russian Empire?
That's so brilliant. You know, John McCain, he should get a Nobel Prize because the context of that is so brilliant. And I've never heard the phrase old KGB apparatchik at least in 10 minutes. And all we hear is that he wants to restore the old Russian Empire. You know what, John? I, Michael Savage, wish we had a nationalistic leader to restore the old American empire, John. Instead of seeing it melted down with the help from you by melting our borders with Mexico, John. But let's go back to the shootdown of MH17 and who did it. We don't know who did it. We assume that Russia did it because that's what the government media complex has told us. They don't know whether that's true or not. But that fits the narrative of evil Russia and good Ukrainians. But the question is being raised by some in the media who are actually doing their jobs, mainly Paul Joseph Watson of InfoWars. He is asking, well, let him ask it himself. I don't want to have him repeat what I'm going to tell you he already wrote. I thought it was pretty interesting. Paul Joseph Watson of InfoWars, thanks for joining us again on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Good to be back.
So what is it you're saying that Kiev will not release? What will the Ukrainians not release?
They will not release the air traffic control tapes in communication with the Malaysian Airlines flight. We know that the first Malaysian Airlines flight that went missing back in March, the transcripts of those air traffic control communications were released within 3 days. Yet what happened in this case was that within hours of the downing of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, Ukraine security services went to the air control towers, seized the traffic control tapes, and we've heard nothing of them since. So obviously, you've got Russia coming out with radar images suggesting that this flight was being tracked by Ukrainian jet fighters. If that's not the case, then Ukraine needs to release these air traffic control tapes because they will prove their narrative. They seem to be having a lot of difficulty proving the narrative coming out of Kiev and Washington because most of their evidence is based on YouTube videos uploaded by the Ukrainian government and dubious Facebook posts from so-called rebel commanders that have already been debunked. So all I'm saying is show us the evidence that backs up your narrative behind this shootdown.
Well, look, on the face of it, using logic, Russia has nothing to gain and everything to lose by having downed a commercial airliner. Okay, let's start with that. Right now, world opinion has shifted to the poor Ukrainians. And we learned from our UN ambassador, Samantha Power, that her entire knowledge of the situation is based upon Facebook and YouTube postings. They don't know what the hell is going on. You and I both know it's about the natural gas and squeezing off the Russian cash flow. Wouldn't you agree with that?
It is, exactly. In the larger context, of course, this shootdown happened literally the day after the BRICS nations came out and announced their anti-IMF, anti-dollar system, which, of course, represents a major threat to the unipolar world system. the New World Order being pushed by the likes of NATO and the Obama administration. But you mentioned, again, Samantha Power. There's actually a really fascinating exchange which just came out a few hours ago. It's up on Infowars.com between State Department spokesperson Marie Harf and an AP reporter, Matt Lee, who actually does his job and challenges the U.S. government, you know, acts in an adversarial role, and basically says, look, the, quote, forensic evidence that you've supposedly provided to prove that this jet was shot down by Ukrainian rebels is based on Facebook posts, for example, by this rebel commander. It turned out within a day that this Facebook page was put up by fans of this commander, so the words couldn't even be attributed to him. And the post was talking about the shootdown of a military transport plane. It had nothing to do with Malaysian Airlines Flight 17. So this is the kind of evidence that Washington and Kiev is saying, you know, is the slam dunk that proves this was shot down by the rebels in eastern Ukraine. And it's just not good enough.
Why would anyone have sent a commercial plane over a war zone is the number one question. Other planes had bypassed this exact flight path. Who do you think sent this commercial airliner into a war zone?
It could only have been air traffic control operating out of Kiev. I mean,
all right, wait a minute. Listen to this. So you're saying air traffic control in Kiev lured them over the area?
I don't know if that's the case, but if you look at the previous 10 flight paths of this very jet, MH17, before it was shot down, they all pass well out of the way of eastern Ukraine. Then on this one day, they're ordered to fly directly over the conflict zone. They're ordered to lower their altitude, change their course, and the plane gets shot down. So you've got all kinds of stuff going on in that air traffic control tower, which would give us a great insight into why that plane was diverted over this conflict zone, which the vast majority of other carriers avoided. But they don't want to release the tape. They've seized the tapes, and they refuse to release them.
Well, what you're saying makes sense to me, because neither Russia nor the eastern Ukraine separatists had the ability to order air traffic control to shift the path of MH17 to the north to bring it over the kill zone. There was only one controller that could have ordered that flight to alter course, and that would be in Ukraine itself. Would you agree with that?
That makes the most sense to me. And then on top of that, apart from, you know, quote, Russian propaganda saying that the jet was followed by Ukrainian fighter jets, you have aviation experts based out of the U.S. that are saying the same thing, that it looks like it was diverted either with air traffic control but with also with the direction of these fighter jets. So if we got the released air traffic control tapes, then we would know for sure if Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 was indeed being tailed by Ukrainian fighter jets shortly before it crashed. And, of course, that would change the whole perspective of the official narrative that's being pushed by Washington and Kiev right now.
Mm-hmm. So all you're asking for is release the air traffic control tapes, and Kiev will not do that, to summarize it. Is that correct, Mr. Watson?
That's correct. And there's also another big story which you put out which ties into this, which is Robert Parry, who broke a lot of the Iran-Contra stories working for the Associated Press and Newsweek. He has a source who told him directly that the U.S. has satellite images which show that the missile was fired by Ukrainian soldiers. They've got the images of the Ukrainian soldiers in their uniforms. Now, that's a credible guy. That's not some internet conspiracy theorist. Robert Parry is a credible, award-winning journalist. He's developed sources over decades. He's got a source that's saying that the missile was fired by Ukrainian forces in their uniforms and that the U.S. has proof of that and is not releasing it. So, again, that's just as credible as Kiev coming out and saying, oh, we uploaded a video. Here's a Facebook post where the rebels claim responsibility. That's not forensic evidence. It's not good.
Let's look at who gained most by this tragedy of shooting down a commercial airliner, killing all those people. Did Russia gain? No. Who gained? The Ukrainians gained. So you have to say, let's look at the evidence on both sides before we rush to judgment and wind up banging into another war with Russia, which is, God forbid, what's liable to happen if we listen to idiots like Bolton and McCain who are screaming for war. In more words than one, all you hear from them is, we mustn't let them get away with it. They're old apparatchik of the KGB. We must make them pay. What do they really want? What do they want? What do these lunatics want, Paul?
Well, they're obviously trying to encircle Russia. Russia's not even really expanding. They're being surrounded by NATO bases. But again, I think it's just the threat of a good example of, you know, an alternative system to this IMF system based on the dollar, which the BRICS countries are introducing. Then you look at it in further context. You know, these sanctions against Russia were completely toothless. The Russian stock market has gone up in the past few weeks. They needed a reason to beef up these sanctions, which is now happening in the aftermath of this incident. And Ukrainian forces in eastern Ukraine were suffering heavy casualties in fighting with these separatist rebels in the days running up to this incident, to this shootout. So if you place it in context, Ukraine was basically crying out for a casus belli to really ramp up both these sanctions and put pressure on Russia not to support these rebels. So it's very convenient timing, to say the least.
Well, the narrative in all the newspapers in America is evil Russia shot the plane down on purpose. If you ask the average jerk in the street who has even a knowledge of this, and I don't even know how many Americans even care about it, they'd say Russia did it and they'd move on. And that's because the evidence was presented by those who want the outcome to be that those in Kiev are the victims and Russia's the evil bear. But there was someone who's writing that this is a replay of the Lusitania scam in World War II when the passenger ship Lusitania, which, by the way, was carrying a covert military cargo, was intentionally sent into a part of the Atlantic Ocean known to be crawling with U-boats to bait the Germans. And what happened was the Lusitania was sunk. And that then gave the war cries in America that were needed at that time. And right now, we have to reiterate on this show on the Savage Nation that neither Russia nor the Ukraine separatists in the East have the ability to order air traffic control to shift the path of the Malaysian plane to the north to bring it over the kill zone. Somebody brought it over that kill zone, and it had to be people in the western Ukraine, in Kiev. That's what most people who have the ability to analyze things are saying. Hold it, not so fast. Especially when you hear people like McCain screaming for war.
And here's another aspect to it, Michael. The separatist rebels don't even have... they don't have possession of the Buk missile system. That's not coming from Russian propaganda. That's Ukraine's prosecutor general who stated, quote, the military told the president after the passenger plane had been shot down that the terrorists did not possess our Buk missile systems. So that's Kiev itself admitting the day after the plane was shot down that these terrorists don't have access to those systems. So again, you...
When you say terrorists, let me repeat, the average listener doesn't know, they've lost control of this because they don't know as much as we do about this. The word terrorist applies to the Russian proxy forces in the East, right?
Exactly, yeah.
All right. And in Kiev, July 18th, it was published by Itar Tass, militias in the self-proclaimed Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics do not have Ukrainian air defense missile systems, Buk and S-300, at their disposal. And that was said by Ukrainian Prosecutor General Vitaly Yarima, according to Ukrainian Pravda newspaper last Friday. They said that the terrorists, meaning the Russian proxy forces, do not have our air defense missile systems, Buk and S-300. They said it themselves.
And again, the U.S.'s case, Kiev's case, is also based on another YouTube video. Again, this is their forensic evidence, which they claimed showed one of these Buk missile systems being transported back over the border into Russia, having been used to shoot down the airliner. People investigated that. They saw the street signs. It turned out almost instantly that that missile system was traveling through a town in Ukraine. It wasn't heading back to Russia. So they've got all these so-called slam dunk pieces of evidence based on Facebook posts and YouTube videos, and each one of them in turn has been completely debunked. So what do they have left? They haven't...
Well, I don't... Look, we don't know who actually did this horrible thing of shooting down a commercial airliner, but we do know that we haven't heard both sides of the story. And I'm not so quick to rush to judgment when the stakes are so high, especially when it makes no sense for Russia to have shot down this airliner. Now, even if a Russian separatist had done so by accident, which is certainly possible, that's not a pretext for war, as McCain and John Bolton seem to think, is it? I don't believe so.
There was a good Peter Hitchens article actually on the weekend which made the point, you know, mourn the victims, but don't turn this tragedy into a global catastrophe. And that's what those kind of people risk doing with that rhetoric. So, you know, if they really want to go toe-to-toe with Russia, it's going to be a disaster situation. Another aspect to this with the investigation is that the black boxes, which have now been recovered, obviously, are heading back to England to be analyzed after initially supposedly being handed to the Dutch to be analyzed. So, of course, British Prime Minister David Cameron has been vehement ever since the incident happened in blaming Russia, and now Great Britain is going to be analyzing the black boxes. So I wonder if...
Are you kidding? Well, MS-13 will take... MS-13 will set it to say whatever they want it to say. And so the narrative is in, Russia's bad, we need sanctions. It's all a scam to grab the shale deposits in Ukraine and convert it into gas and to crush Russia's economy and to keep the porno shops running in Europe next winter with the shale oil. You know, before you go, and maybe you can stay with us another minute, remember back when we were heard about chemical weapons being used by Assad, and then there were reports that maybe he didn't use them, maybe the so-called U.S.-backed rebels in Syria used them on people themselves? Whatever happened with that story, Paul?
Well, that's interesting, because obviously now any skepticism towards this shootdown of the airliner is being characterized as Russian propaganda. It was also characterized as Assad propaganda.
Yes.
Questioned the Ghouta chemical weapons attack.
Paul, can you stay with us another few minutes? Because that's exactly right. Every time I get up here and try to use logic and reason, they call me a front man for the KGB. We're talking about the shootdown of the Malaysian airline plane from a different perspective. We're asking who actually did it. You've rushed to judgment because Murdoch and everyone else in the media has already said the Russians did it. New York Post. Vladimir Putin did it. Insanity. We don't know that. That's number one. Number two, we learned today that his opposition in Kiev, Ukraine, will not release the air traffic control recordings, which would tell us a few things, namely who ordered the Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 to change course and fly over a war zone. It's awfully suspicious. With us has been the reporter Paul Joseph Watson of InfoWars. Paul Joseph Watson, welcome back to the program. Paul, remember the Assad incident with the chemical weapons? They all said Assad did it. Some said, wait a minute, maybe the so-called Syrian rebels did this. Whatever happened with that story?
Well, that's right. I mean, for a year beforehand, we were saying, look, they're going to stage a chemical weapons incident. They're going to blame it on Assad. He's got nothing to gain from doing it. Of course, we had the Ghouta chemical weapons attack in August 2013, immediately blamed on Assad based on, again, a YouTube video. We said that we developed sources in Syria that said, no, it was the rebels that were behind this attack. We put that evidence out. We almost went to war based on a YouTube video. January 2014, MIT study, again, not the Kremlin, not Russia Today, this is an MIT study, concluded that the chemical weapons attack could not have been launched by the Assad government because it wasn't launched from a government-controlled area. So again, we were proven right in doubting the veracity of that YouTube video, which almost sent us to war, and again, demonized at the time as Assad propagandists, just as now are being demonized as Putin propagandists when we're just trying to get to the truth of what...
That's right. I want both sides of the story, and I hope my listeners have an open mind as well. Paul Joseph Watson of InfoWars, always a pleasure.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.